But we're going to try this morning. And the title of this lesson is The Blessing of Giving. Now, don't have any preconceived notions. I'm not after your money. Some ministries and preachers are after your money. I tell you what, giving and the blessing of giving goes way beyond your money. I was thinking while I was studying this, you talk about giving to people, one of the easiest ways is to reach in your pocket and give them money. It's harder to give of yourself. Amen. But we're going to study a little bit about that this morning. If you would like to stand, I'm going to read a scripture and then you can be seated. Thank you for standing. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting with the first verse. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. God, I pray your blessings on this lesson this morning. Your word's already anointed. I pray that you would anoint us, Lord, as we deliver it. Strengthen everybody in this place, I pray, Lord, in body, mind, spirit, and soul. Let us know what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. That verse 1, cast your bread upon the water, that's simply an expression that means blessings will be returned to the one who is generous and hospitable. And the second verse we read, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. That's simply a figure of speech for several or many. And we use that even today. Somebody say, well, how long are you going to be gone? Well, about 8 or 10 days. That was just a figure of speech. Verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. This verse illustrates the certainty of blessing. Just as nature is unfailing, so will a man or a woman be blessed in due season. Verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're waiting on perfect conditions, all that's going to just do is produce inactivity. Exactly. I mean, we wait for the perfect time and the perfect place to read our Bible, we're not going to begin. If we wait for a perfect church, we won't ever join. There's a second verse that I've heard. If you find a perfect church and you join, it is no longer perfect. Amen. We wait for the perfect ministry and you'll never serve. Amen. I tell you, we need to work for the Lord now and grow spiritually. Amen. That's how we do it. Don't wait for conditions that may not ever exist. We just cannot let our lives be governed and guided by an uncertain future. If that was the case, a farmer would never start or finish his crop. I planted a little old garden I didn't do at all in the spring, and I planted a little fall garden. I'm telling you, I planted those seeds in dust. You hear me? I said, they may choke to death. I said, but I'm going to plant them anyway. Well, Lord, here comes the rain. I got peas and beans and squash up about that high. Got some little weeds coming with it, but we're going to let the tares grow with it lest we pull the beans up. Amen. But if we waited on perfect conditions, we'd never even start or finish. Amen. Verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. The next few verses is talking about enjoying life fully. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years in rejoicing them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let the heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. There's nothing wrong with being youthful. Use it for the Lord. Amen. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Amen. We need to work for God and give now. Amen. While we have an opportunity. Christians ought to give freely, expectantly, liberally, and wisely. And consequently, you're going to experience blessings that comes through the law of the harvest, the sowing and the reaping. And I promise you, the word of God is true. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow much, you're going to reap much. You sow little, you're going to reap little. You don't sow at all, you're not going to reap at all. That is the law of the harvest, and it is true. Amen. In today's lesson, we address the principles of giving, and we're going to try to look at why we should give and prudent and proper ways to give and the rewards of giving. I tell you, God's character is the model for us all. If you want to know how, just read the Word of God. I tell you, we ought to be holy because God is holy. That's what His Scripture says. And Jesus taught us to forgive. Why? Because God forgives. Amen. Today we study that all true believers should be givers because God is the model giver, and we ought to strive to be like Him. I think about the Scripture, you know, when they taught, Lord, teach us how to pray, and he began to teach them in the part that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And if you look up that word debt, that word means a debt that you could not pay. I promise you, the Lord forgave you of a debt that you could not pay. And in turn, He's teaching us, you need to forgive people of a debt that they could not pay. It doesn't necessarily have to be monetarily, anything, but it's all about forgiving. The first thing I want to look at is the grace of giving. When Solomon wrote, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days, he was just suggesting that giving often must be done without really expecting or foreseeing the results. And a lot of times that's our problem. When we do give, not really knowing what the results of our giving will be or when the result was come, that sort of wants to have us to draw back from giving. And I think a lot of our problem is we need to learn to be patient. And we've become a society of instant gratification. I tell you, they wouldn't have invented a microwave if we wasn't a culture of wanting instant gratification. They wouldn't have fast food restaurants. And I'm not kidding. I've seen people get upset because their burger didn't come out in 30 seconds or less. Lord, what did we do before we had McDonald's? You just ordered and sat there and waited on it. That's what you did. You know, with patience you'll possess your soul. That's what the Scripture said. But we do know that if we give, it will come, possibly after many days. The bread that we cast upon the water is symbolic of our sustenance and the stuff of our survival. The waters that he wrote about represents the people to whom we give. In Revelation 17 and 5, the waters that John mentioned and saw, it represented multitudes and people. And I'm telling you, we're to give out of our own life-sustaining ability to give. Amen. Knowing that it will eventually produce results, both for those to whom we give and to us as well. Amen. When we give, I don't care if it's money, time, talent, or whatever, you make an investment in others in the work of God's kingdom. Amen. By giving to others from all that God's given us, you are planting seed that someday, sometime, someplace, is going to yield a harvest of benefits if we'll just plant it. And the new harvest will again multiply the investment that we made. I'm telling you, this eternal direction about giving came from Christ Himself. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he said, freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus first recognized what the Heavenly Father had given to us, and he told us to do the very same thing. So he said, you have received it freely. You need to give it freely. Amen. Not to hoard it. And we are not responsible for what other people have or other people have to give. But what we are responsible for is what God's given us and how we choose to deal with it. Amen. And we're to give what according to what the Heavenly Father has given us. And that supports His holy work. Amen. And we need to take inventory once in a while what God has given us and how He has blessed us. And to exercise good stewardship by passing it on to those who are in our circle of influence, so to speak, or who we have contact with. But we need to do that every once in a while. God has blessed us, folks. Amen. And it may not all be material things, but God has blessed you with different things in your life that you can minister to somebody else, and you can be a blessing, and in turn, they can be a blessing. That's all about giving. The opposite of giving is greed, and if we're going to be selfish and greedy, we're going to miss entirely the purpose for which we were born. God never gave to us so that we could greedily hoard it up. His blessings will to be withheld from other people. That's not what He intended. That is greed, and it prevents us from receiving intended blessings ourselves. And our very life and our survival, it depends on the gifts that we have freely received from God. Our life, health, strength, talents, abilities, a lot of other things. We are debtors in this life. And I tell you, we have already received more than we could ever repay. There is no way that I could repay God for what He has blessed me with. But I do believe that He expects us to do our best. Amen. He knows that. He knows we're not able to do give back as much as He's given us, but He expects our best to give what we can. The Apostle Paul, felt his indebtedness to God, and he spoke about the dispensation that he lived in and the gospel that was committed unto him. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul also expressed his debt to the Romans. Over in Romans 1:11, he said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. I'm telling you, it's not all about money. It's about giving what God's given you, and that is the knowledge of the truth. And that's why Paul said, I feel an indebtedness to all these people. He said, I'm a debtor to the Greeks, the barbarian, the wise, the unwise, and to the Romans. I'm telling you, you got to be willing to give if you want to receive. Amen. Amen. And I think we ought to thank God for Paul's readiness to give of himself and ministers that give them themselves. It continues to bless people today. What Paul did back in Asia Minor and all his travels and all his evangelism, it still has repercussions today. Amen. The next thing we ought to give expectantly. I thought about the old message in a bottle. How many has ever put a message in a bottle and threw it in the water? And anybody? I guess I'm the only one. I did it more than once. Never got a response, but I did. I don't know where the bottle went to, but it's like the old message in a bottle. It kind of illustrates giving with expectancy. You don't know if you're going to get an answer, but you're kind of expecting one. And ain't no telling how many people over the years have dropped a bottle in the ocean with a message in it, sent somewhere, and hoping that whoever found it, they would see the name and the contact to respond to it to see how far the bottle traveled or who got it. It's about the expectancy of it. And there was no real assurance that anybody would find the bottle. But the prospect of success made the endeavor enjoyable and rather intriguing. And that's the way we have to give. We have to give with the expectancy of getting a return or getting a response when we give of ourselves. So when we give to further the cause of Christ, we never know how long, and we never know where the gift may work or how many lives it may benefit, but that is the expectancy that we give with. But I tell you, on Judgment Day, it'll all be revealed. Amen. And what we've done for Christ is what's going to last. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. He said, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. If we give wanting instant gratification or return, we've got the wrong motive. He said right here, you do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Romans 12 contains a whole list of gifts in verses 6 through 8. Number 1, prophecy. Number 2, serving, which is the ministry. Number 3, teaching. Number 4, exhorting. Number 5, giving. Number 6, ruling or administration. Number 7, showing mercy. We can just about safely conclude that giving is one of the substantial pillars of the church. Not to just come and receive and to hoard, but to give. Now, when we come into here, I know and understand we come to hear the Word of God, to recharge ourselves and get ready to go out. That's where you give it away. On the job, at school, wherever you might be. Paul admonished in Romans 12 and 8, he said, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And I know and understand, I read these seven gifts. And I tell you, it would be very difficult for one person to embody or exercise all of those gifts. Almost impossible. I think about Moses when his father-in-law said, hey man, this is too big for you. You're going to have to bust this thing up and get you some help. I'm telling you, when you identify your gift, ask the Lord how you can use it and build up God's family. That's what we need to do. Find our gift and give it to the best of our ability, not just the saints, not to just one another, but to sinners alike. Amen. We need to let our strength balance other people's weaknesses and vice versa. They will do the same for you. Together, folks, we build up the church by giving. Amen. But Paul gave freely. And he realized his indebtedness. Amen. God promised to reward us if we would give with good intentions. The next thing is we ought to give liberally. Our giving should not be stingy or sparse. A farmer who will hold back on the seeds that he plants, he's going to suffer when the harvest comes. And I told him the other day, when I bought those peas to plant, I found out seed not cheap. But I had plenty, and I gave them to a friend of mine, and he's planted them. I'm telling you, if you give it away, it's going to promote itself. It's going to multiply itself. I don't care what it costs you, but we have to give liberally. Proverbs 11 and 25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall also be watered himself. And you don't need to worry about or despair. If you have little to give or not much to give, Jesus only asked to give according to your ability. The poor widow that he talked about that cast her two mites, that got Jesus' attention. He looked up when she did that. Luke 21, verse 3 and 4, more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. God is not concerned about the earthly value of the things we give. He's concerned about the spiritual and the eternal value in our giving. And that's what he wants to be concerned with. Someone who may never have a whole lot of money, we can do other things. I'm telling you, just a letter or a word of encouragement is worth millions. And I've probably told this story before. My poor mother-in-law, she lost her leg through an accident, and it's a long story, but she lost her leg about 4 inches above the knee. And I found out when you lose the knee through amputation, it makes a big difference. Big difference. But she was well up in age, and she fell into a state of depression and wondering how she was going to conduct her life and take care of her business. But to make a long story short, I began to talk to Mom, and we began to pray together, and God lifted her out of that state of depression. And year after year, her jar of money that she worked to raise money for, I guess, Ladies Auxiliary, I think it was, or whatever, year after year, Ma would turn in most of the money. And I told her one time, I said, "Ma, you're one of the best cooks I've ever met in my life." Now, my mom's sitting right here. My mom was a good cook, but I tell you, Ma could cook. You hear me? And I said, "Can you still make a pie?" She said, "Yes, I can." I said, "Well, you make a pie and you call somebody that you know needs lifting up or just needs a word of encouragement and see what happens." And I'm telling you, God blessed her. And with her handicap, she still worked for the Lord. I'm telling you, God wants what you've got, and He will use it, He will multiply it, and He will make a difference in what you've got, be it large or be it small. Amen. So we need to give liberally. I tell you, just giving words alone are unacceptable. James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Didn't Jesus say, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison? That's exactly what the scripture says right here. It's one thing to just offer word. Well, yeah, go your way and be filled. You know, I'm telling you, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Such works show that our commitment to God is real. I tell you, works of service and giving is a verification of our faith in Jesus Christ. I tell you, we have to give. We have to give, folks. Amen. Jesus talked about the priest and the Levite that passed by the fallen man on the way to Jericho. But in Luke 10:33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." And I tell you, Jesus told the followers, "You need to go and do the same." And Paul said, "It is more blessed to receive to give than to receive." Acts 20:35, "I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I'm telling you, every church, every tabernacle, every temple that you read about in the Bible was supported by the free will giving of the people. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." That is in Deuteronomy chapter 16. But we need to understand, folks, we need to give wisely. If we sow enough seed, we understand that something is going to grow. So there's no need to refrain from sowing the seeds of goodness. I tell you, it will set into motion when you give. Plant those seeds. It's going to set into motion a whole parade of miracles. It is going to set into motion a harvest if you consistently continue to sow or to give. And don't let clouds of doubt and darkness and adversity, don't let it influence your giving. We all go through things, all of us, but we cannot just sit down and say, "Well, that's it. I've had enough. It's not working. I'm going to quit." Not, that's not the way it works, folks. We have to give through adversity. Amen. That's all about giving liberally and giving wisely. And we should not let that affect us. We need to obey God's law and know that something good and positive is going to come out of our giving. The law of sowing and reaping. We've already touched on that. That whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God established this law of sowing and reaping in creation. God created seed, and that would just perpetuate life. And we all know that was His design, and to produce seeds within the plant that gives it the power to reproduce itself. In the days of old, you know how the farmers would plant, and they would always withhold a little bit of seed for the next season. Why? Because the seed will perpetuate itself. It will continue to grow if you continue to give. And God's giving is just it's a never-ending chain reaction. And every gift that God gives, it grows additional fruit and ongoing seed. And I tell you, the greatest gift or the greatest thing God ever gave us was the plan of salvation that He gave to mankind. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Seed continues to produce life. I thought about Abraham when he went up on the mountain to sacrifice Isaac and how he did everything God told him to do. He raised a knife to kill his only son, and the angel or the Lord himself stayed his hand and told him, "Don't kill him. I know and understand that you would do what I ask you to do." And then I jump forward to the cross and Jesus Christ going to the cross. Nobody grabbed the hand of God. Nobody grabbed him to say, "That's enough. I knew you would do it." He allowed him to go ahead and go to the cross and give it all, everything he had. I tell you, the angels might not have been there that day, but 3 days later they were. And through that resurrecting of the first fruit proved that the continuation of giving and planted seed, it has something good in it. Amen. So we need to do the same thing. We need to keep planting, folks. We need to keep giving all we can give, and it will bear fruit. John the Baptist said, John 3:27, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." And all we have, I understand, all we have was given to us from God. Everything we have. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." God commanded us to give. Jesus told his followers in Luke 12:33, "To sell that ye have and give on. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. He told the rich young ruler, Matthew 19:21, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." You read that scripture. He was looking for the willingness, mostly, I think, of the rich young ruler. I don't believe he was wanting to make the rich young ruler destitute where he'd had to become a beggar. And if you read that scripture, I read it over to make sure several times. "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor." I've heard a lot of people say, "And give it all to the poor." That ain't what he said. You just give to the poor. Sell that you have and give to the poor what you have. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And I promise you the word is true. Where your heart is, there will your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. And if you give to God, that's where your heart will be. Jesus preached to the multitudes for days. And he told his disciples, Mark 8:2, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." I tell you, he took that small bit of, he did it more than once. He took that small bit of food. He blessed it. He fed 4,000 people one time, took up 7 basketfuls, fed 5,000, took up 12 basketfuls another time. I'm telling you, he was willing to take what they had and to bless it and to give it away. And they saw the results in the miracle of the loaves and the fishes and the food. So we have to give, last but not least, as an act of faith. And the scripture talked about sometimes we don't understand. The Bible talked, the scriptures we read talked about the way of the Spirit and about how the law of sowing and reaping in some way is mysterious. I know I've said it before. We need to plant, we need to water, and we need to leave the seed alone. I've seen my row come up a little bit, and it'd be a long gap, and say, "Well, I wonder what happened there." Don't go digging it up. Leave it there. Let it do what it needs to do to come up. You start flipping them out, trying to figure out what happened, you're going to tear it up. It's the same way with giving. When you're giving yourself away and you're giving of the things that God has given you, don't go to rooting it up and wonder what happened, why something hadn't come of it all of a sudden. Amen. Let God give the increase. Amen. It talked about the growth in the womb of a woman. And we know, of course, when this was written, and of course now we know a whole lot more. They've categorized every stage of the fetus in the womb from conception all the way to birth. And the other day, my little niece, she's expecting a baby and soon, and she sent me a picture. And it's one of those, is it 3D? I don't know. Where Dr. Ford? I guess he may know. But I'm telling you, it was like looking at Brother Jordan. That little baby was in the womb, thumb stuck in his mouth. I tell you, we've come a long way from this time this was written. But I'm telling you, folks, as much as we know, we can't take nothing and create life. Only God can do that. Amen. Amen. So we may not understand our giving, but we need to give. And it's sort of just impossible to understand the miraculous dynamics of giving. Who could have ever explained the unfailing cruise of oil? While they were pouring that all out, don't you know it crossed their mind, how in the world is this happening? I have poured, I've poured. Bring me another vessel. I've poured, I've poured, I've poured. Bring me another vessel till there weren't any more. We don't understand it, folks, but we just believe it. We have faith and believe in what we give will come to fruition. Even though we may not understand the ways of God, we got to have confidence in the principles of sowing and reaping and giving. I think about this very church, Harvest Time Worship Center. It hadn't been too long ago, somebody asked me, well, how's the church doing? I said, we got 10 times as many people we had when I started. That's the truth. Now, I didn't throw any numbers out there. I'm telling you, when I first come to this church, there was 12 people here. Four of them was Brother Baggett and his wife and his two kids. And I know we've had well over 100 many times here. It's about sowing and reaping. It's about giving. It's about a debt that was right at $500,000 that was paid off in 5 years. It's about improvements to the tune of $250,000. It's about a house and 8 acres of land to the tune of over $250,000. You explain that box to me and how that happened, I'll explain to you the loaves and the fishes. It is nothing short of a miracle. And don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching against fundraisers. If that's what you want to do, knock yourself out. But I'm telling you, God will give the increase. I'm foolish enough to believe when a $1 bill hits the bottom of that box, it turns into two. I don't know what goes on in that box. Like I say, you explain what I just told you, I'll explain the loaves and the fishes to you. I'll tell you exactly how he took them two fish and them five loaves and did that. We do things by faith. Amen. We got to have complete faith and confidence in the processes of God. Amen. The last thing, the blessing of giving of our lives. We need to give of ourselves. God guarantees the giver will be amply rewarded. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. And herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's throwing down the gauntlet, y'all. He's telling us, you just prove me and see what I will do. Amen. That is the blessing of giving of our lives. Proverbs 19 and 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Acts 10 and 2. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, talking about Cornelius, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord fastened his eyes on Cornelius and said, thy prayers and thine alms are come up before, up for a memorial before God. I tell you, we can't afford to miss the lesson about Cornelius' generosity touching the Lord. We need to know and understand that our giving is going to touch the heart of God always. When we give ourselves and our prayers up to God, it's a memorial before Him. And I was telling Brother Cercillo not too long ago, the Holy Ghost came to the first Gentile. He was an Italian man. Isn't that cool? Especially to an Italian gentleman. Came to an Italian man. Filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Jesus taught that many rewards are going to be based on our giving. And He gave a lot of examples, and we've already touched on those. Giving food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, clothes to the naked, and giving comfort to the sick and the imprisoned. Matthew 25:40, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Want to do something for God? Give to your brother. Give to your sister. Give to those in need. Amen. Because I tell you, without God, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, life is vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity without God. My time has run out. I'm just about through. But we need to live and we need to give with this thing in mind. Eternity is in view. And I know lately we've all been seeing and reading and hearing. If you listen to the media, most of the time I don't. I get so discouraged. But I tell you, this world is shaping up for God to come. If prophecy is coming true, it's coming true today. And all the things that are happening, I'm telling you, everything is turning away from God and turning toward every man doing right. That's whatever's in his own eyes. And that's not what God intended. But I'm telling you, folks, we need to give of ourselves, give of our time, our talent, and our money, that we may promote the gospel of Christ and see the blessings flow and see the sowing and the reaping. Amen. God bless you this morning. Hope I said a little something to help us. Thank you for your kind attention. We're going to take a quick break and be back for our worship service in a few minutes. God bless you.